Good morning, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to Hidrovias' second quarter of 2021 earnings results conference call. We are joined today by Mr. Fabio Schettino, CEO, André Kingiu Kubota, CFO and Investor Relations Director, and Ana Carolina Bastos, Investor Relations Manager. This event is being recorded, and all participants will be on listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After Hidrovias' comments, there will be a Q&A session. At this time, further instructions will be provided. Should you need help during this conference call, please press star zero to talk to the operator. This event is also being broadcasted live through webcast and can be accessed via the website link for the investors and analysts. Participants can view the slides in any order they wish. Those following the presentation via webcast can post their questions on our website. They will be answered by the IR team after the end of the conference. Before continuing, I would like to mention that forward-looking statements are based on beliefs and assumptions of Hidrovias' management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that conditions related to macroeconomic industry and other factor conditions can lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. This being said, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Fabio Schettino to begin his presentation.
Good morning to everyone. I would like to thank you for your interest and your participation on our earnings results call for the second quarter of 2021, and I will start talking about our agenda. We will talk about the company's pillars. There are solid strategic pillars. We will talk about the performance on our corridors, and we will review our guidances because of a coincidence of factors that we are observing that are non-recurring. We had a crop failure during the second semester of the corn and an atypical regime of low waters in the south, and I will conclude regarding the mid and long-term perspectives. On slide four, number one, I draw your attention. Well, the company since the beginning has been positioned in the value chain where Brazil is a global player. We work with iron ore, bauxite, corn, soybean, pulp, and paper that are counter-cyclical sectors that are immune to market volatility. The second strategic pillar, not least important, is our own fleet. We are incorporating state-of-the-art and technology. Our fleet has low operational costs, and this guarantees strong margins to our business. This is a great competitive advantage that we have since the beginning, working with state-of-the-art technology in river navigation. Three, there is a rare combination of growth through long-term contracts with top-tier customers. This is underutilized model. When you work with waterways, there is a great potential of growth of working with waterways. This is, as I said, a rare combination of long-term contracts with reassured cash positions. These are 15 billion of contracted revenue. We are increasing our diversification in terms of corridors, and currency is also important, and the result is a solid growth since the beginning of our operations in 2014, as you can see on the lower right side. Now, when we go to slide six, when we start with South Corridor, I would like to mention that there is a water crisis that is announced by the press and focused on navigation and energy generation. Here we have to observe that we do not operate in basins that present this conflict, like Tietê, Paraná, or the São Francisco Basin. This was a strategy that we adopted since the creation of the company. We didn't want to be exposed in water corridors where we would have conflicts with power generation. This is not the case today. Our water basins, where we operate, be it the Amazon Basin, be it Paraguay, Paraná, well, there is no conflict of generation. We do not have this in the Amazon. It's the other way around. We have had historic floods of Rio Negro and Paraná, Paraguay Basin. Although we don't have a conflict with power generation, there is a crisis of low waters, which is atypical. The next slide, I want to talk about the specificities of the corridor where we are present. That is Paraná, Paraguay. On slide seven, you have to understand that the restrictions of this waterway is not throughout the entire waterway. Here, the most critical part is Corumbá until Anhembi, Paraguay. Therefore, there is a specific impact on the iron ore route and not the grain route, because this goes from Asunción to Paraguay ports, and even in restrictive periods like we're seeing right now. This is more focused on the northern stretch of the river. Here you can see that is the northern point. That is Puerto de Gregorio Curvo, close to Corumbá and Vallenar. That is more to the south. Now, for this restrictive stretch, the company has used the boats bought by Imperial that are of lower draft, and we are the only players that service Vale, and we do have these assets with lower draft. This is an important competitive advantage. We are a leader in this corridor because we are navigating with these vessels that were bought from Imperial to Asunción and from Asunción to the ports of Argentina with bigger vessels because the navigation conditions are more appropriate. Now, after clarifying the fact that the problem in Paraguay, Paraná is not throughout its entire stretch, I would like to go to slide eight, that it is important to understand what is happening with the water regimes and with the hydrological regimes or the drought regimes in this waterway. What can you see here? On the Y-axis, here you can see the river drought is depth, and on X, you have the months throughout the year. The first point, the gray area, is the normal period. Now, the green dotted line shows the average of a history of 121 years. Here we have a historic series of 121 year. Now, the upper line that is brown, this registers the maximum levels observed throughout this historic period. Now, the lower levels, we can see the lower levels observed throughout 120 years. Our first observation here to better understand who operates in this waterway. Number one, the river is a river that presents natural historic seasonality, even under normal conditions. Under conditions of maximum and minimal levels, the river is seasonable. We have to understand this because regardless of being on high, middle, or low waters, we have a navigation condition that is different throughout the year. In our case, our contracts and our contract of iron ore with Mineiro takes into account this fact. In our contract, even in normal conditions, we do not navigate during 1 month during the fourth quarter because we already know this regime. We know the characteristic of the river. What have we seen this year? We see the continuous thick line, and this is the drought that we've seen up till the year. We were thrilled in January, as you can can see the river recovered and went back to normal and maintained in the normal level until April. This is when we issued that guidance because we thought that the river would behave normally, and this is also why we consider our guidance within a normal water level. As of May, on the blue line, you can see that it was no longer normal. Afterwards, we restricted our navigations. Now, the blue dotted line is the projection, and this is what we believe that will happen with the river until the end of the year. Our projection is that navigation will be below the normal levels, that we will not navigate during 2 months, during the last 4 months, and November and December, the river will recover. Here we have to see that when we consider the minimum registered in a historic series of 120 years, the river always recuperates from November onwards. This is why we are considering this. When we review the guidances, we are considering that we will not navigate during September and October. Now, if the rain is regular, well, we can navigate. The results will be better. If we don't navigate during the two expected months, we will be within our guidance that will be commented. Now, on slide nine, within the low water level and the price of iron ore at historic high, our first semester has 70% of market share, and we are projecting to maintain this market share during the second semester when we insist that our assets stand out. Even in situations like this, we stand out from the competition. During the second semester, we will be the only to service at Minério in the iron ore route, and this is a great strategy. So the competition has stopped, and Hidrovias has practically 70% of market share working with Vale under export parity conditions that is very attractive due to historic price levels of iron ore. So our competition is clear even when we see our EBITDA during the first quarter and the first semester. We're not only able, in middle of what I just showed you, water crisis, to increase our volumes, but our EBITDA increased in the middle of this atypical situation. What we want to observe is that the margins are sound, especially when you take into account the different adversities that we're facing. So I always strengthen this point, and I always stress this to the market, and now I have to prove this, that this is the clearest evidence of the level of competitiveness of our assets. When the competition doesn't navigate, I increase my volume, my cash, and my margins are about 50%, and I have 80% of market share. So this is why our assets are so competitive. When we go to slide 11, because of the non-recurring and isolated events, we are reviewing our volume guidance for 2021 with an interval of 3.4-4.6 million tons throughout this corridor. This drop regarding our guidance still represents a strong growth regarding the volume that was realized last year. This is a specific readjustment because of the river conditions, but I am benefiting myself vis-à-vis the competition, and this shows our level of competitiveness in this corridor. This is the South Corridor. Now, the North Corridor. First, we will talk about soybean and its performance during the first semester that justifies these figures. Now, there were no major changes in the volume produced in the crop, but there was a drop of 6% of exports this year. So regarding the area where we have influence, that is in the mid-north, that you can see on the right, well, there was a crop with more damaged grains in the mid-north and the north of Mato Grosso that justifies a drop of 15% of the volume during the first semester. Now, This happened because of a typical climate situation in the harvest. There was an excess of rains damaging soybean production as it didn't present export standard. Part of this volume was redirected to the domestic market, but we believe that this effect will not repeat itself because of an excess of rains during the harvest in micro regions that are the main influence areas of waterway, of hidrovias. On slide 13, we have to strengthen the strength of North Corridor as an export route. More than 50% that what is exported by the state goes through Arco Norte, the northern arc. Well, Mato Grosso exports through the North Arc, and our position, well, despite Miritituba Villa do Conde reduced its volume from 7.5 to 6.4, our market share increased to 38%. So once again, this shows the operational efficiency of Hidrovias in this corridor. On slide 14, we can see that the drop of soybean volume, that is the dark blue bar, was offset by the increase of fertilizers and the reception of our terminal that is different from Mid-North. The reception when comes directly through trucks, it comes from the southeast of Pará. So we were able to increase our fertilizer reception and also the reception of trucks. When we reflect this on cash generation, our EBITDA grows 10% during the first quarter and 30% in the semester, in contrast with the same periods last year. This operational performance clearly shows the level of competitiveness that we have in this corridor. As you can see, with margins that are close to 70%. The quality of assets make a difference. This is why we navigate with vessels that are bigger, with unit costs lower, with transfer terminals and port operations with a high level of automation, higher than the competition. This is part of the strategic pillars that I mentioned on the first slide. This is why you can see its efficiency here. On slide 15, as we talked about the performance of the first semester, let's see the second semester. As everybody knows, the second semester, we have the second crop or the corn crop. We will have also a lower crop than what was projected. On the left-hand side, we expected a crop of 67 million tons, but this is being adjusted downward due to cold waves and frost, and it will be around 60 million tons. There is a significant drop regarding the crop of last year, and this is being announced. All of you are aware of this, as the consumption of Brazil will stay stable. They will redirect the surplus that will not be exported to the domestic market, but there will be a higher drop in export. This is the effect that we will see in corn, and this is because the drop of export is higher than the crop failure, because part of this export will service the domestic market that has its consumption at stable levels. When we go to slide 60, once again, showing the strength of our company in this corridor. Like the South Corridor, the North Corridor, Hidrovias maintains its dominance in this corridor. Today, we have 40% of market share in the Miritituba Corridor. That is the second one. We are very strong in this corridor, and I would like to highlight that our leadership in market share that was achieved with the increase of the tariffs, as you can see on the right chart. Here you can see once again our level of competitiveness inside this corridor. Now on slide 17, how are we going to face, and all of you know the isolated effect of a crop failure. Well, now we're going to adjust our volume guidance to 4.5 to 5.1 million tons in this corridor. I would like to comment our business model. As we have a relevant part of our volume contract under the take-or-pay regime, the drop of expected EBITDA is lower than the drop of the volume expected. These volumes already take into account the expectation that a number of take-or-pay contracts will not perform the volume expected, but we will be settled by the take-or-pay clause. This is important because the volume of the new interval of 4.5-5.1 takes into account the drop of the volume, even in long-term contracts that will be compensated in our EBITDA through the take-or-pay payment. On slide 18 now, I will talk about the future and the crop of 2022, the crop projections for soybean and corn are reassuring. The commodity prices are at a level that will encourage acreage, the use of fertilizers, and we will increase productivity. In the case of corn, as you can see on the lower left-hand side, the strong trend of growth in the production of corn in Mato Grosso remains regardless of the crop failure that you had in 2016, 2018, and this year. This does not change a high trend of the corn crop. We expect a corn crop of 118 million tons, which presents a growth when you see a long-term trend in this region. Well, the failure of the crop is an isolated effect. It has no correlation with the crop of the next year, and this has been historically proven even with corn that is more volatile than soybean. Now on slide 19, here you can see that both the production and the export of grains from Mato Grosso will grow significantly until the crop of 2029 and 2030. Something that we have to observe here is and even justifies why we didn't change our guidance of 2025. All the changes of the guidance will be commented in the north, in the south, in the cabotage operation or Santos, they pertain to 2021. There are no reasons to review the guidance of 2025. The market will continue growing exponentially. Waterways are the best solution to export grains from the mid-north and the north of Brazil. This is something that substantiates why we will maintain our guidance. Now, an important point that we should see here is that this growth of the grain crop and exports of Mato Grosso will not be carried out in a linear fashion. Well, 70% of the projected growth up till 2030 will be seen in the center north and the north center. This is where waterways are more competitive and Hidrovias stands out from the competition. This is why there are no reasons to change the guidances of 2025. Now on slide 20, we can see the performance of our bauxite cabotage operation. This is a long-term contract that we have of Anunorte, but our customer had an unloading problem, but this will be offset by the take-or-pay. Here our contract is being executed with no changes. The volume volatilities that took place because of a problem with the customer did not affect our EBITDA, but this is why we have the take-or-pay clause in this contract. In bauxite, no changes. On slide 21, what we're doing is adjusting the volume guidance to reflect the problem of the bauxite unloading, and this will not change our EBITDA and the guidance of 2025 maintained remain as they are. Now, on 2022, speaking of the Santos and Salt operation, well, it shut down because of overhaul. We stopped the operation in March this year. We increased the volumes and the cash generation during the semester. In contrast to the same period last year, the Santos operation goes back to normal with all the expansion and modern equipment next year. These figures are distorted because of the shutdown, but we will continue performing with more volumes. This is what we did between January and March, and better cash generation than last year. Now, on page 23, you can see our guidance, and you can see that we adjusted the volume guidance to reflect how this operation includes fertilizer businesses in Santos and Salt. So here we are facing some delays in the regulatory paperwork. This is an innovative solution that is a transfer terminal. We are adjusting our timeline, and we believe that this operation will begin during the first semester of this year because of the delay that we had with red tape. The volume guidance for fertilizers in Santos is the same. We are just adjusting the Salt operation timeline and announcing a new guideline and maintaining the guidance of 2025 with no changes. Now, on slide 24. So here, this is a new guidance because of the external events in the North and South corridor. After the Salt operation, we have a drop of the level of damage on soybean on our influence area that takes us to a bar of 780. Based on this, we can demonstrate the specific effects. First, in the North, with soybean damage, we will have a relevant impact. This will be minimized by the take-or-pay effects, and this offsets the drop. Our effect is only on spot contracts because we didn't have long-term contracts. And here we can see the low waters of the South. We anticipate a deterioration of the drought, as we showed in the historic level, and we will have a new guidance between 630 million-710 million. This interval considers an assumption that I mentioned on the historic series regarding our drought. When we consider not to navigate throughout 2 months of the year, if this happens, well, we will go to the lower part, that is the interval of 630. We have regular rainfalls as of September and are able to navigate between September and October, we will be close to 710. This will depend on the river, and seasonally speaking, this will improve the navigation levels as of September. What are we going to do? Well, as this is an external situation out of our control, but we want the market knows if we will be in the upper or the lower part of the interval. Next month, we will communicate the market what the river situation, and the market will be able to see if we're closer to 630 or closer to 710. Okay, can it be worse than this? Well, in thesis, it could get worse, but the likelihood is very low because although when you consider the minimum registries of the historic series of 121 1 years. The river recovers in November and December. Therefore, there is no statistical or historic reason that will allow us to believe that we will not be able to navigate during November and December. We will be transparent with the market and tell them what the situation of the river is, and then the market will be able to see what the impact is. On slide 25, we have the new guidance intervals revised. Although we have a challenging scenario because of a rare coincidence of a failure of a crop and a regime of low waters in the south, our cash generation is aligned with last year, which strengthens our business model. We are facing the perfect storm during the second semester, perhaps with no historic registry of these coincidences, because we are diversified in order corridor and our performance is similar to last year. It is important to see the strength of our business model, the value that we have of geographic presence, product, currency. Now on slide 26, here we have our CapEx, and we are not changing our guidances because these investment will allow us to achieve the figures projected for 2025. We will not change the guidances of 2025. This is why there is no reason to review the CapEx. An important point here that I would like to highlight is that in our case, when we see the guidance of 2021, 5% of the value is maintenance CapEx, 25% is regarding expansion projects and new projects. This is a lower standard than other models that represents 10% in investments in maintenance. We have no investments in railroad maintenance and highways. Our maintenance CapEx is lower, and it is important to calculate the cash flow projections from here on. Now on slide 28, I will start concluding, reminding you that the growth of our company is based on a robust contracted base with installed infrastructure and long-term contracts. Here we have the gray base. Our new projects are harnessing the installed base with a strong competitive advantage. We can expand on an existing base foundation. We continue with a strong pipeline of new businesses and M&A that we see in the top of the pyramid as an upside of our business. Here we have the concession of Santos and the acquisition of Imperial. When we say that this company can deliver a new business or a new M&A deal every 12 or 18 months, we are fulfilling our statements. Santos was done last year, and we carried out an important acquisition in the South Corridor that puts us in a competitive position, and we are the only ones that can service Vale to export iron ore at a competitive level. This is what is going to take us toward our 2025 guidance. Now on 29, we can say that the company is ready to continue delivering growth, to continue delivering our guidances that we have not changed for 2025. The periods of uncertainties and volatilities do not change the mid and long-term growth of our company. We will have a challenging semester, yes. It is normal, this happens. but these challenges are isolated. They're not recurrent, and we are weathering this competitiveness using our operational excellence, and our EBITDA and cash position is comparative to last year, and this shows the resilience of our business model. We are extremely reassured regarding our future deliveries. We know that we will continue delivering value. With this, I bring my presentation to an end, and I am with André Kubota at your disposal to answer further questions. Thank you very much. Now we will hold our Q&A session. Should you have a question, please press star one at any moment. If your question is answered, you can leave the queue pressing star two. Our questions will be answered in order of arrival. Please use your headset so that we have good sound quality. We are collecting the questions. Please wait for a couple of minutes. We have a question from Joshi Milberg from Morgan Stanley.
Good morning, and thank you for the call. My questions are regarding the drought situation and the historic data that you showed us during the presentation. We've had this problem since 2019, at different levels. I would like you to elaborate, and if you could comment if this shouldn't be, couldn't this been seen as a new normal, and perhaps this could be recurrent in 2022? And this is because climate change. And if you could talk about critical points of the river and how this can affect your cost. And another thing that I would like to understand, do you believe that you will have a problem with the drought in Corridor North? Thank you, Josh. This is Fabio. Thank you for your question. I will start with drought, how isolated this event is. And drought, I mentioned the historic series. I have some important data to share. When we see the historic series of 121, from 1900 to 1974, there were 13 observations. There were 13 observations from 1974 till 2021. This is the first time that we have this effect. So as astounding as it sounds, this was more common between 1900 till 1974 than till 1974 up till the day. This is a new normal. There have been less events throughout the last 40, 50 years than the other ones. This is why I mentioned the historic series, because from 1974 up till the day, the river has been more regular than has it been since from 1900 to 1974. So yes, we do understand that this will not become a new normal. Now, your second point that was climate change, global warming, I would divide my answer in two windows. One would be in short midterm and the other one long term. Between the short and midterm, although this is intense, you cannot change a standard from one moment to the other. And this is a river that was one way and suddenly it's completely different. This is gradual, this does not diminish our concern. Now, when we think about the long term, this involves not only Hidrovias do Brasil that is seriously committed with greenhouse gas emissions. Now, Hidrovias do Brasil cannot be the only one concerned. Our society has to be concerned, and we have to face this so that this does not extend itself in the long run and become a big problem. So what are we doing in the short term? We're focusing on assets. So let's say during the semester, we had 70% of market share. We're practically the only ones that navigate. In the northern stretch, probably during the second semester, this market share will go to 80% or 90%, and this proves that before a restrictive scenario, we are practically the only ones that can service a company like Vale. And just to answer your question, and when we think about the short and mid-term, because we want to differentiate our assets even more, and if this becomes more frequent than what it has been, and I would like to make an observation, 13 events between 1900 and 1974, one event between 1974 up till the date. From 74 up till the date, we did not have a severe situation like now, and we still haven't stopped navigating. So we are seeing things through two different periods. How in the short term can we differentiate ourselves from the competition? So if this happens, well, we will be able to benefit ourselves because of the quality of our assets. And in the long term, well, we are contributing so that this doesn't deteriorate, so that global warming, so that our commitments with EHS contribute. Now, Hidrovias can't work on it, so mankind has to focus on this. We cannot increase our average temperature by 1.5 degree until 2030. So in a nutshell, we have no expectation that this will become a recurrent event or that this will become a new standard in the Paraná-Paraguay waterway. Hidrovia Norte, well, there is no event that justified this. I think that in the corridor north, we are undergoing to a condition that's the other way around. We had a historic flood, the highest registry since, and the regime is within normal levels. There is no reason to think that the rainfall regime is changing. What happens is that there is a deterioration of the rainfall levels in the north and the deterioration of the frost levels in the south. But as we navigate, we see no problems here.
Thank you, Fabio. Now, what about dredging? When I spoke about the short-term measures, I forgot to talk about this point. Well, we are working with other players of the river, dredging four or five critical points in the northern stretch, and this will be a recurrent initiative. The NITI, together with the state of Mato Grosso, mentioned that there is a need to dredge the river, and perhaps we were able to mobilize some dredges, and we had to go after suppliers. Today, the dredges are positioned, and they started operating last week in these four or five
points that are critical in terms of passage. We are aligned with the general director of the South Corridor, so we will trigger the dredge. So if this persists, we will not have an impact. So dredging is a mitigation measure that will be used if necessary. Thank you and congratulations. Our next question from André Ashen from Itaú.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. First question regarding the guidance on slide 4. A difference of 80 million because of 2 shutdowns. I would like to understand the effect of the shutdown. Of course, it is 40 million. And what the contract anticipates in terms of shutdowns. And 2, about the South Corridor. I know that we have non-recurrent events, but next year, we see that we will have a lighter La Niña, but I believe that this can affect navigation next year. And a last question, in the North Arc, I would like to see how you're negotiating volumes for the next crop. How is this evolving, especially your views on the second semester of the year?
This is Kubota speaking now. Regarding our guidance, you are correct. When you see the difference between the floor and the ceiling, well, you are close to the difference that you mentioned of 40. Perhaps there can be a differentiation depending on our volumes and the months of navigation, but it is more or less. You are correct. Now, regarding your second point, our iron ore contract, as Fabio mentioned, we already anticipate 1 month where we don't navigate in our contract. It is important to clarify that last year we didn't have this restriction. We didn't have it in other years, but our contract establishes 1 month that where we don't navigate during the fourth quarter. Now, regarding the effect of La Niña, we have Fabio. Okay. For your second question regarding the forecast for next year. Now, obviously, we haven't been able to be as assertive as we would like to be. This is why we issued a guidance where the river was normal until May and then it was strong. I would like to know what is going to happen. But before reading the newspaper, I first check the weather when I wake up. This being said, well, number one, the river has always recovered, even at low levels. So as of September, we will know exactly what the river condition will be because we don't want the market to be caught by surprise. We are being here transparent. We are issuing newsletters on a monthly basis to show the river conditions. Well, we do not believe that this will repeat, well, as severely as it happened this year. This was an event out of the curve. And when I was analyzing the historic series with Andrea and Anna, we saw that this hasn't happened since 1974. And in no moment of the historic series of 121 years, well, we haven't had an event taking place for 2 consecutive years. So if next year, well, this is in recovery,
sometimes you have a drop, then you have a stability, and then you go back to normal. When an event is as severe as it is this year, well, there is not one event where the next year is as severe as this year. So yes, as of next month, we will issue a newsletter announcing what the river situation is. Now, the variation of our guidance or calculation is correct. When we don't navigate, we don't make 40 million, right? It's $7 million, more or less, and we will publish the river situation as of September. Now, the crop negotiation, this is the beginning. What I can say is that, number one, what affected us in the north and regarding the corn crop, We believe that this will not be correlated to the river situation. In the south, we will have a correlation. You sow a new crop, you harvest a new crop. So here we, because of the historic prices of soybean or crop, there is an incentive for more acreage and also for the use of more fertilizers, where we benefit ourselves. As you can see, we increase the volume of fertilizers during the second semester, and soybean 145 million and corn crop of 120 million next year. This is, of course, important, well, because this year we have been impacted by the damage. Well, you can see that this was a growth of 20% vis-a-vis the crop of 2018 and 2019. This doesn't change the long-term trend of an increase of the corn crops. Now, even although we had problems in 16, 18, and 9. So now we started the negotiation. The North Arc is still competitive. What is important to observe, I know that everybody is concerned with ups and downs. Well, is the reception capacity of Santos. Santos never received more than 4.6 tons, million tons, when you take into account the projections of next year. There will be a bottleneck in Santos. This is why I believe there will be space for all the players. Our area of influence is the mid-north and the north. And the Northern Arc is the preferential export corridor for Mato Grosso. Another point that I would highlight is that we are the only logistics supplier that is integrated white flag, offering capacity to traders that don't have logistics systems. This is important. Another point, regardless the negotiation, and I remember I start my year with contracted volume equivalent to my long-term contracts that are practically 60-70% of my total volume. I say 70, but as I'm expanding my capacity, I start with half of my system contracted. Here we have a guarantee of receiving the volume because we already have contracted volumes with some customer. This is different when you access 100% the spot market. Our contract challenges go beyond the long-term contract that, when we start, this represents more than 50% of our capacity, and now we are accessing the market to sell the additional capacity. One last question. You mentioned a point about M&A. You said that the company has a good history of M&A to do it. What about your shares?
What will happen? Well, what do you see regarding the price? At this pricing level, well, we understand that the company didn't lose 45% of its value because of a non-recurring isolated event. Our foundation is solid. The guidance for 2025 will be maintained, and we are reassured that we will outperform that or maintain this. This is an alternative that we have to assess from the technical point of view. Our share is being traded at a good and an implicit return rate. I would not say that this is a binary possibility of doing or not doing. We are going to analyze the different alternatives, and we will continue with the pipeline of new businesses and M&A, and with highly attractive returns. Or it could be maybe a buyback or higher because these are incremental projects of infrastructure that add value in the mid and the long run. Well, this is a possibility because of the price of the share, but this doesn't limit our M&A actions. I agree, but we will see all potential investments, and we will try to do what is best for our shareholders. This is an option that will always be on the table, and we will compare the different opportunities that emerge. As he said, this is not binary. You can see different opportunities among your array of options.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question from Lucas Esteves from Santander Bank.
Good morning, Fabio, André. Congratulations for your results. Just one question. Your guidance for 2025 is clear, and the investments until 2025. Now, between 2021 and 2025, recently we had the construction of BR-63. Oh, and the toll. When do you believe that the BR-63 will start charging toll, and do you believe that this can affect your competitiveness?
Well, before answering your question, I want to highlight a strategy. What is important is to have a highway with good maintenance that is adequate for driving. When the BR-63 didn't have asphalt, the freight was 2019, it went to 190. It was a strong drop. The risk that we tried to prevent was to have a highway deteriorated that would bring the freight to pre-asphalt levels. This concession is welcome, and Hidrovias actively participated. We donated the economic feasibility study. We accessed the market to guarantee that there were players and to guarantee that there would be sufficient load to justify this investment. The road toll will be charged as of 2023. We are still waiting for maintenance and signals to be implemented. The drop that there was between 2019 up till the date, this is manageable. We are considering this, and this is an important point. There was a significant drop in freight price. This freight
there will be a toll, and the perspective is that with better signaling and this freight can adjust, can lower and offset the toll. When the freight was 290 and went down to 200, it's not that the highway was state of the art. It was paved, but we wanted to be in even better conditions. This means that the truck driver will face lower depression, better visibility. They will be able to turn or maneuver better. So we believe that the freight price will increase because will decrease because of the improvements on the road. So for us, well, this is what we expected. We wanted the road to be properly maintained so that we could guarantee the competitiveness of the Northern RBU, because exports also consider this. This is something that we expected. Thank you for your answer. Thank you, Lucas. Our next question from Regis Cardoso from Credit Suisse.
Good morning, Fabio Cuvota. There are some quick follow-ups. Do you have an expectation of when road toll will become effective? Regarding quick follow-up on slide 19, I would like to confirm that these dates from the right are the same from the left. Another follow-up, the damage grains effect was for the backs, what was for the past soybean crop, or do you expect something like this for next semester? What the market has asked a lot, and I would like to comment on, is that if you expect some any type of liquidity risk, if the drought becomes even deeper, I believe no. I believe that this is diluted throughout time, but I would like to give you the opportunity to elaborate on this. And the aggressiveness, is there greater aggressiveness between you and the railway model for the next crop? This is Kubota speaking. Thank you for your question. I will try to answer your question one by one. And if I skip one, please draw my attention. Now, first would be toll. This will start during the 2023 crop. Now, regarding the chart, you are right. The right chart should have the same dates. We are going to correct this and publish this in our website. Now, if I understood correctly, your third question, if we see a risk of damaged corn during the second semester, no. No, the impact is that domestic market is competing, well, the soybean effect was isolated, and there is no correlation with the upcoming crops or with other products. Liquidity, no, we are comfortable, and we are even analyzing our cash flow and amortization in the beginning of the year.
we had a relevant amortization. It's around $170 million in 2020, and we pushed this to 2031 until 2031. Our indebtedness is comfortable. And when we see our cash position, our balance was 534 million reais. When you see what we did during the first semester and the EBITDA guidance that already focuses on navigation, we continue with cash flow, not as high as we expected in the beginning of the year, but it is still positive. We are a company that even under perfect storm conditions, with the worst drought condition in the last 50 years, a drop of crop exports. Well, our figures are very similar to those figures of last year's. So if this persists, even the two effects, we are in a comfortable situation. Now, regarding the commercial side, regarding the North Corridor. Now, regarding our commercial aggressiveness, we have to understand what is happening. This is not a game of quid pro quo of market share. We are working in a thriving market of growth in Mato Grosso. And when we study the market, we see market intelligence. There is no logic reason for the players of the North or the South to become irrational in terms of competition, in terms of distribution, of value distribution, of tariffs, when you consider the capacity of both corridors. And this is even more true next year with the crops that I mentioned. When we see Santos's reception capacity that you cannot change from day to night, you are close to the four port size, 4.5 linear, for 4.5 million linear tons. Next year, if our sugar production is strong, and with our crops not impacted like this year, there is no reason to destroy values of the freight, both in the South and in the North, because once again, we're not talking about a market that has an excess of idle capacity and you're fighting for market share. Our market share in the Sorriso region, where we increased last year, this was an additional opportunity that presented itself. Our main commercial focus will continue being the mid-north and the north of Mato Grosso, and this is where we're going to grow, and this is where we've based our business plan. Regardless of access, extension of railway to the north, or the grain railway. But our basic scenario, well, is where we grow based on the mid-north and the north of Mato Grosso. This is where 70% of our growth will come. This is because of volume and export. The export date is 2030, so I do not see many reasons. Now, the tariff adjustment was to reorganize things. What was happening in Sorriso? These now players from the North or the South Arc depend on this region. Here, the vocation of our market is up till the north. So there is no reason to destroy value.
between balance of supply and available capacity of these corridors. We have to increase the capacity, and this has to increase in both corridors so we can continue shipping the production, because if we don't do this, we will limit growth, and we don't want to do this. So our capacity has to encourage growth and to have and to drive this growth. There is no reason to have economic aggressiveness. Thank you very much. Can I ask one more question regarding competition? This is a common question. Within the North Arc, is there a risk of competition because of Greenfield, Miritituba? The North Arc is highly competitive. We've seen isolated initiatives of additional capacity. This does not compete with our business model. From the beginning of the North system, we created a robust system, and our expansion is through marginal capex. I have some examples. Our engineering concept for our bridge was 800 meter with a drought of 60 meters, and then we went to 400 to 20 meters. When you have a loading device, when you have a convoy of 15 barges and 20 barges, our assets can work this way because, well, we will differentiate ourselves. To answer your question, there is specific capacity increases, like more asset-light systems that have efficiencies to work with lower volumes but cannot compete in terms of costs with a system like ours, because our expansion can reduce the unit cost, marginal capex, and better returns. This is not our game. We are not going to compete creating small systems to operate what we have today. I can even do this in some locations to receive more cargo, but everything converges towards a robust port for export. Here we're talking about 30 barges. We can navigate with twice the volume than what the competition does. This is the game of competition, and we've decided to play, and we will continue playing this way. We are positively positioned to play this game because our expansion is marginal in terms of investment. We are obsessed by technology, by being low-cost providers. We are obsessed to have a restricted situation operating 50% above its capacity. Our competition stopped. Now, the North, our margin is 66%. This is what happens when you have attractive assets at low cost. And as the scale increases, and this will increase, this is a given, this will be the great differential. This is not a game of ants. This is a game of mammoths. We call our convoys mammoths, by the way. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to remind you that to pose a question, please press star 1. With this, we bring our Q&A session to an end. I would like to
call Mr. Fabio Schettino for his final remarks.
Well, thank you, everybody, for your interest in participating in our earnings conference call. I would like to strengthen the fact that the foundation of our company is untouchable. These events are non-recurrent events. They're isolated events. And as I said, we will be transparent with the market, and we will announce the performance newsletters regarding the river condition. So our guidance is closer to reality, and we are driven by delivering growth based on an installed base with cash availability so that we can continue growing and adding value. This is our commitment, and there is no reason why we should change this. These events are isolated events, and they are part of the game, and this doesn't change our values. Thank you very much. We are at your disposal. Our area, Kubota, myself, to interact with you. Thank you very much. With this, we end Hidrovias conference call. We would like to thank all of you for your participation and have an excellent day.